Friend, AM 1400, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. Our reporting stations are not reporting. The website is down. But I can tell you one thing. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for a throwback Thursday, November 3rd, 2016. The only 11-3-2-0-16 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day. And let's party like it's 19-0-8. Let's sing it together. Holy cow.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing,
go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win.
The best in the National League
and the world.
Well, this is the year and the Cubs are real.
So come on down to Wrigley Field. We're singing out, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win.
Chicago Cubs got the greatest fans.
I hear them singing out,
go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Let's go!
Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
It's a man!
Late, great Steve Goodman. Would to God that he would have lived to see this day and so many other millions of beautiful humans. But we did. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, Glenn Klein, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, exhausted, emotional basket case. Holy moly. Racine's Mr. Cub is in the studio too. Mr. Mark Eichhorst, how are you, Ike? I know you're blessed, but how are you?
A little bit tired, but very, very happy.
So, because the Cubs won three in a row, the W flag that flies over the Eichhorst residence, the Chicago Cubs white with their beautiful blue W, never came down in the last 3 days.
No, and it will stay up the rest of the winter.
Oh, I was hoping you would say that. Of course, Mark is Joe Maddon, the Cubs manager's doppelganger. Dude, if you go down to Wrigley Field or go down to Chicago anywhere and have the outfit that you have on right now looking exactly like Joe Madden's twin separated at birth, you will never have to buy another meal the rest of your life when visiting the Windy City.
You know, that's almost true here in Racine. I've had that happen here in Racine. Although I'll tell you, about in the eighth inning last night, I was thinking, am I going to have to shave the beard and lose the glasses? Because if they would have lost that game, there would have been a lot of people upset with Joe Madden.
Yeah, but they're not now, man.
Nope. And
he goes down historically as perhaps the greatest coach or manager in Chicago sports history now, even surpassing the coach. I mean, this is something, there's only been two people ever to win a championship leading the Cubs, Joe Madden and Frank Chance, who was the player manager for the Cubs, the shortstop, Evers.
The Tinkers to Chance.
He's first baseman.
Yeah, Evers to Tinkers to Chance.
Yeah, and in 07 and 08. So, yeah, there was quite a ball game last night. And there are people all over this country that are absolutely out of it this morning. And I mean, because people, even if they weren't as emotionally invested as you or I are and Cub fans around the world, they still stayed up and watched it.
Yeah, I agree. How many people do you think are calling in sick in the Chicago area this morning?
Today is a day you want to be around Chicago. Tomorrow, yes. If they have the parade tomorrow on Friday, there'll be nobody in the city of Chicago at work. That's for sure. They'll either be at the parade or want to see it on the television.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So it was just a great feeling. And, you know, you mentioned, too, you think of people that never got a chance to see the World Series. My dad and brother were great Cub fans. My cousin, Kurt Furch, and a good friend of mine, Brian Sanders, are the four that came to mention that they never got the chance to see the Cubs in the World Series. And then I kind of thought about it last night. At least my feeling is, well, maybe they did this just from the upper deck.
What? If from the Bob Uecker seats in the front row. Well, they definitely experienced that, that's for sure. And I am so spent. I you know how I feel like? I feel like the Tommy Lee Jones character in The Fugitive when he finally arrests Harrison Ford. And he says, you know, I'm glad. I need the rest.
Yeah, I think we both do. We'll be taking a little extra nap. You know what amazed me about last night? Half that crowd in Cleveland last night seemed to be Chicago fans.
I got a call from my son, Joe, my oldest son, who works in Tampa for a sporting goods apparel and memorabilia company. And they flew him from Tampa before the Cubs had extended. We won the game at Wrigley Field, game five. He goes to Cleveland to work the overflow. And I get a call from him about an hour before game time last night. They got him a ticket. He was at the game last night, my oldest son, Joseph.
Yeah, one of the best stories I heard yesterday was on one of the Chicago sports talk shows. And now I know I'm supposed to listen to it, but how can you help but not do that at this time? And there was a guy, he was driving down to Cleveland, and he called into this particular talk show, and he said, hey, I just got to say a shout-out to my wife. He said, as a couple, we were with a whole group of people that had season tickets for a number of years, and for some reason this year we got kicked out. We were told we were no longer in the group. Felt bad. In fact, I had a bad taste in my mouth with the Cubs the whole season. Woke up this morning, and my wife said, you know all that money we saved on those season tickets this year? Here's a ticket for tonight's game. Drive yourself to Cleveland. And he was on his way down, and he was actually, as he was trying to explain, as you could tell his voice was cracking, his crying, he says, I love you, honey. And I thought that was a great story. The other one I like, too, is the Harry Carey statue out in front of Wrigley Field.
You know,
Harry had the expression many, many years ago. He said, as sure as the Cubs, or as sure as God made little green apples, the Cubs will be in the World Series. People keep bringing green apples. There's green apples all over the place at the bottom of his statue.
That was after another disappointing finish to a season when Harry Carey said that. And he said, the Cubs will be in the World Series perhaps sooner than we think. I think that was in 1984. But here we are. I mean, this is a major cultural moment in this country. Dan Patrick, the well-known sportscaster, and many people else have said that, and I concur. He said this is the last greatest sports story. That's it.
I would agree. It's not only probably the greatest sports story today, it may be the greatest news story today.
Well, it was all over the news this morning, I can tell you that. And I am filled with so much joy and so much introspection about this experience. And as I was talking to Mike MC Hammer Clemens, our leadoff hitter, at the bottom of last hour, Mike had a lot of relatives that lived in Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan, I think he said, and that were Cubs fans, because before the Braves were in Milwaukee, before the Brewers, certainly, there was the Cubs. And because of WGN,
right,
so many people watched Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey and watched those teams. And I'm all about taking whatever circumstance presents itself and trying to glean as much of the fiber of life as one can from an experience. And the Cubs have been the experience, athletically speaking, as a sports fan, of my life. And so I think about words and I think about messaging all the time. One of the beautiful things about this radio station, when Magnum.media purchased the station about 2 years ago now, I think a little over 2 years ago, changed the moniker to Your Radio Friend. See, that says something without saying anything other than that. It says a lot. It says we're here for you. We're part of the community. It says so much. And when the Cubs last won the World Series, or were in the World Series in 1945, the Billy Goat came to the ballpark, and the owner of the Billy Goat, that was not allowed into Wrigley Field, said, "The Cubs will never win again." And that, of course, became the famous curse of the Billy Goat. But the Cubs, as an organization, repented for that mistake. It wasn't a mistake, of course, but they did everything they could. They had the great-grandson of the Billy Goat owner come, and he forgave the Cubs. Then they had the Cubs had a priest come out with holy water and spread it over the warning track at Wrigley Field. They had repenting, ladies and gentlemen, often is over-spiritualized, that word. But literally, all it means is to change your mind. And the Cubs changed their mind about the Billy Goat. And so that was taken care of, at least theoretically, but everybody was talking about it all the time. Curse of the Billy Goat. And then the Steve Bartman game happens against the Florida Marlins in 2003. Now, that wasn't a curse. That was a manifestation of the curse. The ball going through Leon Durham's Gatorade-soaked mitt, that was a manifestation of something, of a message that the Cubs were lovable losers. And they messaged themselves as that. Every time the Cubs lose a game at Wrigley Field, they hoist a loser's flag over that beautiful scoreboard in center field. An L flag. Everybody knows about the W flag. Mark flies one at his house in Racine.
And there's a lot of them in Racine right now.
There's a lot of W flags. And when the Cubs were awarded the World Series trophy yesterday, in the locker room, the clubhouse at Progressive Field, there was Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operation, Jed Hoyer, their general manager, Tom Ricketts, their owner and chairman, Joe Maddon, their manager. What did they unfurl? A W flag. They would not have unfurled an L flag if things would have gone differently. It sent a message. So we got rid of the Billy Goat curse when we repented for that. And when I say we, you say, well, how can you say we? You're not part of the team. Yes, I am. I have ownership. In every way that you could describe and define ownership, I have spent time. I have spent a ton of money, emotion. I have invested all of this. Do I have stock in the Cubs? Yes. I do. I have emotional stock in the Chicago Cubs. I'm wearing a Cubs sweater right now. Mark is wearing a Cubs sweater right now. We've invested in this team. And so I took it upon myself to stop the messaging of the lovable losers. This is a true story, beautiful humans. This was before Facebook. This is before the country had heard of Barack Obama. I took it upon myself to single-handedly say, messaging is important, Chicago Cubs. And I started a campaign called LoseTheElfFlag.com. If you go to my Facebook page right now, you will see a picture of me and Milwaukee dentist, Dr. Tom Radke. I think it was 2007. And I went on this single-handed campaign to get the Cubs to eliminate that message. The Cubs started raising the W and L flags, respectively, after a Cubs win or a loss. This is in the 30s. The Addison L train, or the L goes right by Wrigley Field. It stops at Addison. And what it was put there originally was as people were coming home, because remember, the Cubs never played night games. So the people would be coming home from work. Let's say the game started at 1 o'clock or 1:20. They usually started the game back in the day at Wrigley Field. And the people could look up above the scoreboard and see if the L was flying, they lost. If the W was flying, they won. But if you think about it, if they knew that there was a game and there was no W flag flying, they probably could have figured out that the Cubs had not won that day. There is no organization in all of sports. I don't care what. When you go to Horlick Field and the Rebels are playing, if they lose, they don't raise a loser's flag. I don't care if it's Little League. I don't care if it's semi-pro football. I don't care if it's the – there's not a venue in all of sports that announces to the planet we are losers. I was on WGN Radio with Dave Kaplan talking about this. And then the Cubs were sold to the Ricketts family. And this is an issue in Chicago. I like to think that I helped raise the issue anew. And the Ricketts actually had a poll taken by Cubs fans, or for Cubs fans. Do you want to lose the L flag? And in large numbers, I think it was like 60-40, somewhere in there, the Cub fans decided to keep the loser's moniker. And it's so ingrained in Cubs fan that Rick Tellender, the award-winning Chicago Sun-Times sports writers, made the case that it would have been better for the Cubs to lose, that the Cubs and their fans would lose part of their soul if the Cubs would win the World Series. I don't agree with Mr. Tellender as much as I enjoy reading him. Then 2 years ago, I was living in Tampa at the time, and Andrew Friedman, the Tampa Bay Rays general manager, left the Rays to go become the president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Rays were mensches, were true human beings, and called Joe Maddon up and said, Joe, do you realize that you have a clause in your contract that allows you to be released of your obligation to us if Andrew Friedman leaves? Well, Joe Maddon wasn't aware of it. He and Friedman had worked very, very closely together. And he had a good agent, obviously. Joe Maddon opted out of his contract with the Rays. And, of course, we in Tampa, who so love Joe Maddon for all the reasons that you folks have heard and have learned, why Joe Maddon's such a special guy. So we were really in kind of a state of shock. And then relatively soon after that, we started hearing rumblings that Theo Epstein might be talking to Joe Maddon about becoming the manager of the Cubs. And sure enough, later on that offseason, there he was across from Wrigley Field at the Cubby Bear, being announced as the new Cubs manager. And I really felt, and I've said for many years, that the Cubs would never win a World Series until they were done identifying themselves as losers with that Vekakta L flag. Vekakta is Jewish for stupid, crazy, nutty. Except when they hired Maddon. I said, if there's one man that can message the L flag away, it's Joe Maddon. And he's a big guy on messaging. He's the one that told the Cubs we're going to embrace the target this year when they were favorites to win the World Series. So many slogans, so many sayings, so many things to wrap your mind around being positive. And that's what happened. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what specifically happened that had a lot to do with a message last night, right before the Cubs gave up their 6-3 lead to the Indians. They were up 6-3. And there was a 3-run home run hit. Something happened that affected the energy in Cubs Nation and around the planet. I will get to that after the great Tom Carco and the WRJN News on deck.
You know, there's a lot to love about the new Festival Foods and Summers. And Karen from Festival is here to tell us about one of the amazing products from
60 again on Sunday. Rocky weather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400 WRJN.
In Kenosha right now, it is 48 degrees, 47 in Burlington, 51 Milwaukee, 48 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
So what's new?
Hi there.
Oh my God. Exhausted.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are tired today, but you know, it's a good kind of feeling.
Oh, it's a feeling like I've never had in my life. I mean, I remember, obviously, vividly, my oldest child being born. And I could not have been more thrilled. He was born when the Bears won their Super Bowl in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was just overjoyed. But
at which?
I knew it was coming. At which? At both.
Well.
But the Bears, that game, you know, was a blowout. We had 9 months to prepare for Joseph's birth. We knew it was coming. This is something that I've been waiting for way longer than a Bears Super Bowl, way longer than a child. And I thought it would never happen. And it happened last night. We saw history made.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sports history, cultural history.
Well, it's cultural history for a lot of people, but not all people. I mean, some people don't care.
Well, some people don't care who's going to be president. Doesn't mean it's not important.
Well, some people don't care and don't think it's important. I'm just pointing that out.
Well,
just, you know, there's a large portion of society that is excited about this. Okay, cool.
Don't be a buzzkill, TK.
I'm just telling you, man. You know,
I know, but it's
like doing those surveys. 40% of Americans. Well, no, it's 40% of about 200 people that they asked. That's not the entire country.
There are tens of millions of Chicago Cubs fans around the world that are thrilled this morning.
Right.
And you know how you always, well, not always, but frequently will have the obituaries
right
at the end of your potentially award-winning newscasts. Here's a guarantee that's going to happen. There are going to be elderly Cubs fans dropping like flies now, because they've seen it all. There's nothing else to do for them. And it happened in Boston in 2004 when the Red Sox broke the curse of the Bambino, and it will happen in Chicago, guaranteed. They're happy, they're at peace, and they can go home.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll watch it. And the other thing that's going to happen to
watch it.
Because we'll see the reports. That's how we know about Boston.
I don't get those reports.
Well, I'll make sure you do.
Thank you.
And because we know from statistically, the death rate went up dramatically in the Boston area after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004. That's good. There's nothing left. I got a text from a buddy of mine last night after the game who's younger than I am. He says, my bucket list is full now. I can go. I was like, "What, dude, you're just getting going here." His bucket list is full or finished. And here's the other thing that's going to happen, guaranteed in the Chicagoland area. 9 months from now, the birth rate is going to go up dramatically.
That's probably likely, yeah.
Let's talk a little about predicting the future. Lots of people say they can, but have you ever met a psychic who retired on their lottery winnings? Me neither. So why try to predict your corn earworm pressure for this season? You can't. No one can. But they are present more label directions. Genuity Rib Complete products require planting a separate structured refuge in the cotton growing area. Individual results may vary.
This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Clint Klein, and we're talking with Minnesota Twins and former Milwaukee Brewers play-by-play man Corey Provis. So you do any good Euchre impressions?
Oh, I got a million of them. I do it all the time. I'll just drive in the car and be like, from Miller Park in Milwaukee on a beautiful fall evening, it's the Brewers and the Cubs in game two of a three-game series.
Who's he going to get them to imitate next? Glenn Klein, middays on your radio friend, WRJN.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Deb Carson.
After a 108-year drought with Black Cats, Billy Goats, and Bartman, all is forgiven. The Cubs are cursed no more.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
That was the Cubs radio network with a call. Joe Maddon's squad rallied from a 3-1 series deficit to win three in a row. Indrian still without a crown since 1948. Ben Zobrist, named the series MVP, had a series-high 10 hits. NBA action. The Mavericks are still winless, losing at Utah 97-81 Jazz, while the Thunder are 4-0 behind
Wheels for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
There we go. 17 minutes till 10 o'clock on a throwback Thursday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, fatigued, introspective, spent package. Glenn Klein, happy to be with you on this morning after the Cubs' big win. Before the great Tom Carco's potentially award-winning newscast at the bottom of the hour, I was talking about the importance of messaging and the fact that the Cubs had been messaging for decades, for the better part of a century, themselves as losers, as lovable losers, by hoisting that L flag over Wrigley Field, and that how I had single-handedly started a campaign for the Cubs to lose the L flag. And you guys hear me talking about all the different rituals I do and the hats that I wear, and that I bought the winter Chicago Cubs hat when they were having that dry spell, the drought and hitting in Los Angeles. I went out and bought it on purpose just to make a statement to myself and to the atmosphere that the Cubs were not only going to beat the Dodgers, but they were going to the World Series, and you would need a winter hat at chilly Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago. People think, oh, this is just silly. And there is some silliness to it, for sure. But we are walking sources of energy, you guys. And the energy that we give off does not just go out into a vacuum. It comes back to the people that we've had a chemical connection with. How many times do you think about somebody, you're talking about somebody, and you get a text from them? It is a coincidence, but it's not just a coincidence. The words that we use, those words have sound waves, and those waves go out, and they just don't go out and disappear. They come back. The tongue has been compared to the rudder of a ship. The ancient scripture says you will have what you say you will have. Now, there's certain truth to that. This is one of the reasons that Mark Eichhorst, when you ask Racine's Mr. Cub how he's doing, he's blessed, he says. He is blessed, by the way. When people ask me how I'm doing, I say on purpose, I have no excuses. Excuse me, I have no complaints or excuses for that matter. And I thank them for caring enough to ask. It's not just shtick. And we saw it happen last night. The Cubs were up 6-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. And the Cubs' flame-throwing reliever, Aroldis Chapman, was in. And then I heard Joe Buck say it. They hadn't talked about it the entire playoffs. Aroldis Chapman was accused of domestic violence last year. Now, he was never charged. He was never found guilty of anything. But Major League Baseball decided that they would suspend Chapman for 30 days. This is when he was with the Yankees, or for 30 games. And it was like a gut punch to me and to the millions of Cub fans who heard that around the world. It might not even have registered consciously, But believe me when I tell you that I was in Chicago yesterday. The energy, not just from people that were in Chicago, but Cubs fans from around the world and the news media, there was such tremendous pressure, both positive and negative, happening. And it like sucked all the energy out, that message. And Joe Buck, he didn't have to say that, but he chose to. His right to do it. It was true. It is true. He was never prosecuted. He was never found guilty of anything, but he was suspended for 30 games. That is true. And immediately I recognized it. And then the Indians came back with a two-run home run to tie it. Rajay Davis. He's a sweet kid, Rajay Davis. And he hit that line drive home run to left field. And it was like all of the energy was sucked out of the Cubs. And then it started raining. And then another message came through. Jason Hayward, the Cubs' multi-million dollar free agent this year, who could not hit his way out of a paper bag this season, but has had a great attitude and is a great defender, got the Cubs together during the rain delay and said, "We got this, boys. We know we're the best team." And he changed the atmosphere again. And then we saw what happened. Let me tell you something, beautiful humans. What you say about yourself, how you support your family with your words, with your actions, with your attitudes, it makes a difference. It might not be the defining difference, but it definitely contributes. This whole time, I haven't been saying if the Cubs win the championship. I say when. I said it yesterday when I spoke in Chicago. And I told the people that I was speaking to, I said it on purpose. It wasn't if, it was when. Joe Maddon, who turned this atmosphere in the Cubs clubhouse around within 2 years, he's got slogans and sayings, but they have a ring of truth to them. And if you believe, if you make a conscious choice to embrace that which is true, it always causes forward movement. And negative stuff can cause the opposite effect. It is 10 minutes until 10 o'clock. This is Glenn Klein on WRGN, and he is Chicago Cubs fan and the Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate here in the great state of Wisconsin. Please welcome back Mr. Phil Anderson. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Glenn.
Did you hear Joe Buck say that last night?
Yeah, I did. And I understand they have to report on everything, right? They're trying to give, and they're trying to talk and talk and talk and keep the sound space filled as well. So oftentimes things come out of their mouths that aren't relevant or don't make sense occasionally. But, you know, they're trying to cover the whole event, right, and all the different ramifications. So I understand why he did it. But I agree with you entirely. It just sucked everything out of the room. I mean, I was watching the game with my family. We've got generations of Cub fans in our family, and they were watching the game last night, and it was like, oh, no. But amazingly, as you pointed out, Jason Hayward called that team meeting during the rain delay. And during the after-game interviews, when they were asking everyone about that, every one of the Cubs that was interviewed pointed to that meeting and said, that calmed us down, we got us focused again, made us positive again, and that made all the difference in the game. That leadership was incredible.
Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operation, he mentioned it while he was receiving the World Series trophy. He went back there. He said it was by the weight room. They're a Progressive Field, and he sees the Cubs meeting, and he was like, what's going on here? And he said, come on, boys, we're just going to grind it out. That's what he heard. And See, I want to disagree with you a little bit. Joe Buck did not have to say that then. He chose to. And I'm not saying he was trying to hurt the Cubs. But I'll tell you this. A lot of Cubs fans that listened to him broadcast those games thought that he was anti-Chicago. And certainly pro-Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw. And remember where Joe Buck grew up. St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. His dad, the Hall of Fame broadcaster Jack Buck, did those Cardinals games forever. And I would not say that consciously he was rooting for the Indians or the Dodgers. But you can't help your background. You can't. And in a moment of stress, something may come out. He could have said that 2 weeks ago. But at that critical moment, when everybody who has been a Cubs fan their whole lives and people that have just got on the bandwagon are just at the edge of their seats, that's when he decides to throw water on the momentum the Cubs had, at least subconsciously, and it had the effect. We cannot prove it, the cause and effect, but we saw what happened, we heard what happened, and then the Indians tied it up, and then Jason Hayward made the decision. They did. Cubs didn't know that. The Cubs didn't know that that was revealed to the whole world. Most of the people listening to the broadcast last night, I guarantee you, did not know that about Aroldis Chapman. You did. I did. People that follow baseball and follow the Cubs knew that. But here's a man that was accused, but was never charged, was never prosecuted, was suspended by baseball. That's the moment that Joe Buck decides to bring it up. It was brutal.
Yeah, I wonder how many people, we actually considered this for a while, but it just, based on where we were, we weren't going to be able to do it technically, but how many people watched the broadcast but listened to the radio broadcast on 670 instead of having to listen to Joe Buck. I bet you there's a lot of people that did that. We do that for Bears games. You know, we'll listen to the radio broadcast as opposed to watching the networks.
The problem is that they're not synced up, usually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I posted on Facebook after the game, I said, anything can happen. If the Cubs are World Series champions after 108 years, anything can happen eventually. Now, you're running for Senate, for the Senate seat here in Wisconsin against Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson. And I just heard a poll on the network news, the Wisconsin Radio Network. Basically, they're tied and you're at 3%. Probably not going to happen for you this time around. But
no, I'll acknowledge that. And we knew from the beginning that this was going to be a very, very difficult race. I mean, even a year ago when I declared, people were asking, why this one? It's going to be really hard. It's basically two incumbents. And they knew that the Senate majority would be in question and there'd be a lot of money coming into the state. But the primary goal was to win, which looks extremely unlikely at this point, to say the least. But the secondary goal is to have our voices heard, to make a difference in the election, and to help build up the party. And all of those things have been accomplished in spades. It's been incredible. And I think we'll do better than 3% on Tuesday because there's a lot of unsampled new voters, and the polls tend to skew older as opposed to younger where our voters are. But, the fact that our percentage now is bigger than the difference between Feingold and Johnson is significant because hopefully whichever one is elected or both of them in the long run start looking at libertarian policies and principles and ideas and try to incorporate them, understanding that they can't just, get us fearful and chase us off our desire to vote, our conscience.
Well, I said when the Cubs hired Joe Maddon that he was going to win a World Series with the Cubs. And then I said it was going to be this year. And, of course, 2 or 3 years ago, it looked like it was forever away. And I'm going to say right now that I have no doubt that within our lifetimes, if we live long enough, we are going to see libertarian House of Representative, congressional members. We are going to see state representatives. We're going to see U.S. senators. And we are going to see a libertarian president before this is all over because the vast majority of Americans, when polled, they're libertarians. They just don't know it. And exactly. In their attitudes. And we just need the right candidate nationally. And unfortunately, as much as I like the guy, Gary Johnson was not that guy. He had the opportunity to get into those debates, and that's when he had his Aleppo moment. And he's not great on the take. He is not great spontaneously. And you've got to be hitting on all cylinders if you're going to compete in this arena. And Phil, you've done such a credible job. I've got to say, and the beautiful humans know I'm a libertarian. I said that from the day one of starting my career here at WRJN over a year ago. And I support libertarian values, and I support you. And I had a Phil Anderson for Senate sign on my lawn in front of the gingerbread house. Mm-hmm. And I wake up Saturday morning, and mysteriously, out of nowhere, a second Phil Anderson for Senate sign appeared on my lawn. I had a white one with nice blue writing, and now I have a blue one with a nice red, white, and blue. How did that happen, you think?
Well, we were in Milwaukee all last weekend and had a couple hours between events and decided that, we had some new signs delivered down near Racine and Kenosha and decided that while we were on our way down there, we'd also sort of spruce up the signs that have been out there for a while. So you got a brand new sign for your yard because you are a fantastic supporter of not only my campaign, but libertarians in general.
Were you on that trip?
Oh, yeah, I planted that sign in your yard. That was me personally.
You didn't know it was my house, though, did you?
Oh, yeah, I did. I got you on my list. And, but my your favorite Cub fan was riding shotgun for me, and so we both saw the gingerbread house.
Your son Sam was with you?
Yep. He's dying to watch another Cub game with you so that he can win a little money off you again.
That's right. We were having some side wagers at the Gary Johnson meeting at Serb Hall. I just walked into the bar because I was thirsty and I was just done with that place was filled to capacity, and there was one person sitting at the bar, Phil's young son Sam, who probably shouldn't have been sitting at the. Well, it's actually a bowling alley, so I guess it was okay.
Right.
And I didn't know he was your son, and we just had such a good time. Well, you guys would have knocked on the door, I would have welcomed you. I would have made you some eggs or something.
Well, we had a lot of stops to make. I considered that, but we were very, very busy that weekend. We had four events in Milwaukee last weekend, very well attended, and a little bit of time to get out there and drop some signs in yards. So, a very productive weekend.
Well, you've had a productive campaign. Like I said, it's been very, very credible. And you've been all over the state. You get good news coverage. And that's what it's going to take. It's a grassroots movement. And if the libertarians are successful, I believe that we're going to see candidates like Donald J. Trump and Grandma Hillary not elevate to positions of power as they are. Bill Weld, the libertarian nominee for vice president, was asked on MSNBC, I think it was yesterday, if he was going to vote for himself. Can you imagine that people would say? And he said, of course he was going to vote for their ticket. He said his number one goal was to see that Donald Trump was not going to become president. With things happening right now, as a political observer that you are, what do you think is going to happen on Tuesday?
To be honest with you, I don't know. Not at the presidential level, nor down ticket, because there's so much ticket splitting that'll be going on. There'll be people voting for Trump that vote for me. There'll be people voting for Trump that vote for Ron Johnson. There'll be people that vote for Hillary, and it'll be all over the place. And there's still, what we don't know is how turnout's going to be for either of them, because they have people that say, yes, I'll vote for them, but will they go to the polls on Tuesday? That's an entirely different question. And I think that means we're going to skew more, even more towards libertarians, because we're more passionate about and positive about our candidates, as opposed to the sort of the hold your nose and vote against somebody attitude that Democrats and Republicans have to adopt in order to survive.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know this, that with all the insanity that has occurred in this presidential election, there is momentum towards Trump right now, and it is looking much more like the 1980 race, where Ronald Reagan was behind a week before the election to Jimmy Carter, and then over that weekend, Reagan just exploded and, of course, went to a huge landslide, and God help us. God help us either way.
Well, I think it was interesting, too, during the game last night, the Hillary ads were super negative on Trump, of course, and then his ads were more positive. There were fewer negative Hillary ads and more positive Trump ads than coming from his side. The other side was more negative. So maybe that's indicative of how they're feeling about their campaigns at this point.
He is the always positive Phil Anderson. He's running for Senate in the great state of Wisconsin as a libertarian. Thank you so much, sir, for serving our state the way you have and for stepping out and for being, as I said, such a credible representative of libertarian values and goals. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Glenn. I hope everyone goes out and votes their conscience. Don't surrender your vote to the two-party system. Vote your conscience. Whoever you want to succeed, vote for them.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
And on this Throwback Thursday morning, WRJN covers the world.
More bare-knuckle campaigning. Cubs fans are cheering. I'm Evan Haining. 5 days before Election Day, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump